Okay, well, but that's exactly what God has done. He sees, knows, experiences who we are, and he loves us anyway. So there's this fourth choice that we're going to be talking about today. It's called the house cleaning choice. I don't like to clean anything about the house, but it is a great opportunity for us to see what it looks like. It says, I openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. So we're not going to have you turn to your neighbor and bare your entire soul here in this next few minutes, but do we understand that we have to come face to face with who we are, with where we've come from, with what's brought us to this point, so that we can then allow God to work in ways that He can only work. The purpose today is to help bring us hope and courage, to take the steps necessary to move forward, to help us see how things can be, to see how things will be, and actually, in a very real sense, to see how things actually are right now. To help us understand, maybe in a new way, maybe for the first time, how deeply God loves us. It's the foundation. It's that seed that's planted in good soil, and we see it grow to know that He is with us. There's a lot of fear and trepidation that goes into a choice like this. It's one that may be painful. It's one where, in fact, we are scared to do. And many times that comes from the idea, because we don't fully understand how much God loves us. And if we can get a hold of this depth of His love, then our fear has a way of going by the wayside. So, out of the Beatitudes, we've been taking a look at one Beatitude for each one of these choices that we've moved moving forward. Matthew 5:8 finds us with our next part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus offered there back in Matthew chapter 5. Happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So I want to make it very clear to start with that it says pure in heart, and it does not say religious in heart. Some of the most unhappy, sorry-mouthed people we will ever see on the face of this earth are religious in heart. They live a life of misery. They don't seem to be happy until everybody else is miserable with them. I don't know if you've ever met anybody in that category before. It seems to be their religious life is filled with a bunch of rules. All the rules of the don'ts. They want you to believe that the Christian life is just don't. Don't, no, no, no. They want you to think that's what life in Christ is all about. But I'm here to tell you that there is more to life than don't. There is more to following Christ than don't. It should be a life filled with do. It should be a life filled with can. I can do how many things? All things through Christ who gives me strength. Or how about John 10:10? Jesus said, I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullest. Not that we have religion, but that we actually have life. So here's the deal. Jesus doesn't want me to be religious. You can write that in your outline. He wants me to be real. That's the other side. Happy are the pure in heart, not the religious in heart. And so we're going to look at an example where this lived out in the life of Jesus. John chapter 11 finds us with these words. Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, what did he say? Come forth. Yeah, he called out. He who had died came out bound hand and foot. He was alive, but he was still wrapped in what? grave clothes. He said, it came out hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. It says he was bound. Still, he had life, but he was still bound up. So here's the deal. There are things that still bind us up, that still keep us from living a life to its fullest. There are things that trip us up. We try to follow Jesus, but nothing that we try to cover up ultimately will stay covered. None of what we have can continue to bind us when we understand the life-giving power from Jesus Christ. When we gave our lives to Christ, the Bible says, He brought us from death into life. And so it's just like what Jesus did with Lazarus. He was brought from death into life. But there are still things in our lives that keep us from our fulfillment in this life. Jesus said, I came to give you a full life, but there are things that bind us up, that hold us back, that restrict us, that keep us from finding or reaching our full potential in life. Old ways of thinking, old behavior patterns, addictions, all of that kind of bound up life that we find ourselves in. It's not just enough that I'm bringing you from death into life, Jesus says, but I want to bring you into freedom. And he does it through his people. So there's the picture. He was alive because Jesus said he was alive. But he worked through the friends of Lazarus for him to become unbound. And that's where we find ourselves with the housekeeping choice. I'm going to tell Jesus about what's going on in my life. He already knows it, so it's nice that I would actually speak to him about it. I can admit to myself, which sometimes is hard to do, but then can we actually take some time to admit to someone else? To speak in terms of someone where I have found safety, and it's in the church that we ought to be able to say that place is. Jesus does not say, loosen and then wrap him back up in another bunch of stuff, right? We don't even hear where he talks about what they do after he unwrapped him. All he says is, let him go. So in Galatians 5:1, we find this passage from Paul. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's not to bind us up and restrict us. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. John 8:36 tells us, if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. So there's this idea for us to understand that happy are those that are pure in heart, not religious in heart. So how does that look? I know my heart. There's not much purity about it on its own. So how can we even come to terms with this idea of a pure heart? Well, Romans 5:8 gives us a few words in that direction. While we were sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to be cleaned up. He went ahead and walked into our world right where we were. Purity of heart is the gift of God's grace. We cannot earn it. We cannot buy it. The only way to get a pure heart is to surrender to Him. To give our lives to Christ, let Him forgive us of our sins, purify our hearts, and walk forward. 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ Jesus has become a new person. Not one day when I finally get everything straightened out, when I finally get all the grave closed off, it says, I've become a new person already. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. So it is hard for us to picture how that's possible. How can I have a pure heart when there's all this stuff that's still in my life? How is it possible? Our minds are dirty, our hands are dirty, our mouths are dirty, and we find ourselves in a very difficult place. Where is purity anywhere connected to that? But can we understand that each one of us still fight with temptation? Each one of us understand that there are times when we lose our temper, when we do things we shouldn't, when we say things we shouldn't, when we think things we shouldn't. There's not a person in this room, there's not a deacon at the Philippi Baptist Church who still doesn't have to fight temptation, confess sin, and repent. That's where we all find ourselves. So, the basis for a pure heart is not how good you've been. The basis of a pure heart is how good God is. And so that's the deal. That's where we understand. It's not about where we've been. It's about who God is. Psalm 139 says, "You have looked deep into my heart, Lord. You know all about me." God knows all about you. He knows that you really want to be free. He knows that you don't want these grave clothes around you anymore. He knows that we want to purify our hearts, and the only way to do it is to surrender to Him. He promises if we surrender, He will purify our hearts. So we're talking about something that happens overnight, right? Not exactly. The process, the life is given instantaneously, but it's a lifelong process to walk into that reality. We have a role to play in the process. The people sitting around you right now, or even way back a few rows, have a place to play in this process with you. And it is one that we get to walk through together. We cooperate with God in becoming what we already are. So the story goes that if you were to go to Italy and head to that beautiful city of Florence and behold this incredible sculpture that Michelangelo was able to make, Michelangelo's David would stand before you in all of its resplendent glory. And so the question was posed to Michelangelo, how in the world did you do such a thing? You know, how do you come up with such a magnificent piece of art? And so supposedly Michelangelo's answer was simple. He says, "I just cut away everything that wasn't David. That's all I do. And what's left is what you get to see today." And I think that's exactly what God is doing in our lives as well. He's chipping away, he's taking off one little wrapping at a time, all those things that keep us from where and who we really are. All we see in the lives of so many people is just a big block of stone. That's all that our human eyes can picture. But God sees something far more. He cuts away everything that isn't us and allows us then to be free as He's created us to be. God has already declared our heart as pure. He already sees us in Christ as having a pure heart. We now get to cooperate with Him in the process of becoming what we are. The cutting away, the getting rid of the things that bind us, that trip us up, that cover us up, and God does it through His people. He wants us to cooperate with Him and let Him work in ways that only He can. And here's how it works. We fall down in the process and we get back up. We fall down again, and we get back up again. And when we fall down again, guess what? We get back up again. I've used the faith ring many times to illustrate how we are connected to God. And so it's a great illustration of how the ring catches on this chain, and it almost looks magic how it happens. But there are many times when I have missed. I just don't have it held properly, or it just doesn't go off. And I always say, but we believe in a God of second chances and third chances. He is the one, in fact, that we continue to connect to. But the opposite is what we end up normally doing. When we fall, we then say, well, then I just can't talk to him anymore. Or I say, I sure can't read my Bible anymore because I'm not where I should be. It makes us feel like hypocrites. Or I can't certainly go to church. I got to stay away from those kind of connections in my life because I'm not where I need to be. When actually the opposite is where we are to be living. Sin should drive us to God, because that's the only place we're going to find forgiveness and mercy and hope and healing and the strength to get back up and move forward. That's where we find ourselves needing to head and not further away. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And this is not about God being soft on sin. Please don't misunderstand. Don't think of God in like He's just some old man winking His eye and He's saying, no big deal. It's no big deal. You've messed up, so. What we have to picture is that He hates sin. It's literally what has separated us from Him. It's the reason that Jesus had to die for us. God hates sin. Seems like an oxymoron. I didn't know God could hate anything. Well, it says in the Bible that He couldn't look on sin, right? So when His Son was on the cross, you know, the whole deal with the Son being blotted out, it was really God turning His back at that very time because of the sin that Jesus had to carry for us all. This idea, then, of examining our hearts and confessing our sins, Lamentations gives us a word about that. He tells us, let us search and try or test our ways and turn again to the Lord. Or how about Luke 7:47? Jesus said, he who has been forgiven little loves little. It's equally true that he who has been forgiven much loves much. If I don't see the wound, then I won't see and I won't recognize the healing. If I don't see the sin, then I won't see the forgiveness. If I don't see the need and how desperate I am, then I won't see or recognize the miracle when it takes place. So how does this fit together with our daily lives? There seems to be a continuing struggle of making the right choices, of allowing God to lead us where we need to be. We need to be unwrapped from the grave clothes, from the things that are restricting us, holding us back from fullness of life. There are hurts that still have to be healed. There are habits that still have to be broken. There are hang-ups that we have to get over. So Philippians 2, 12 through 13 puts it this way. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. It says work hard. I appreciated Chaplain Jim Steinspring's message to the incoming freshman. He said, you know, he tries to say the same thing every year, but how do you do it in a relevant way? And so he offered the freshman class, there was probably 325 of them sitting down in their audience. He says, anybody here interested in a $20 bill? And of course, he had the $20 bill in his hand, unlike I do. And so he had all kinds of folks with their hands up. And so one guy went up there and And he says, now this is all you have to do. Make the silliest face that you can, stand on one leg and say, I am silly, I am silly, I am silly. So in front of all the parents and faculty and, oh, there's probably 1,000 people at the Coliseum, this guy gladly hopped up and down and said, I'm silly 3 times. He got his $20 bill. And then Jim says, it's amazing what we do with the right motivation. It's amazing what you can accomplish with the right motivation. And so are we hungry and thirsty for the right things? And he said, and you're starting out, and he says, I want to see you walking across this stage 4 years from now. Because along the way, some of you are going to get tired. Some of you are going to get, you know, they're going to switch what's the most important to you while you're here. You're going to forget that it's hard work, that you actually have to study. And there are things called tests that are required. Philippians reminds us that there is a work still going on inside of us and that it continues to be a process. So these last two passages, before we get to what we need to remember, they just reinforce for us. Out of Psalm 32, it says, finally, I confessed all my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. And the next passage out of the New Testament says, therefore, the Bible says, confess your sins to each other. Out of James chapter 5, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So this house cleaning choice leads us, you know, it's one that doesn't have a lot of funny punchlines. It's one that's a pretty deep subject. It's one where you're weighing in and actually taking a moral inventory of your life. Not so that it's a downer and that you just can't go on because you're so heavy laden with everything, but so the grave clothes can come off. So in this process, let's try to remember these three things. That in the process of where you are looking at all those things that separate us from God, and for many of us, there are many. And for many of us, we've walked through a time where we've laid a few of those away, but others have come up in their place. In this next process, here's what we need to remember. Let's remember God's kindness. God's kindness leads you toward repentance, out of Romans 2:4, or Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or Romans 5:8, God has shown us how much He loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. Never forget God's kindness as you're looking through and removing these grave clothes. Also, we remember God's faithfulness. Philippians 1:6, I am convinced that God, who began this good work in me, will carry it through to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. I like the King James there. He is faithful to complete it. He does not give up on us. And the Romans 8 passage ought to be one of our life verses. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons nor the present nor the future nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation, not any addictions, not any hang-ups, not any problems, not any sins, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How about that? God's Word speaks. Hebrews 11:5, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Hold on to not only God's kindness, but His faithfulness. And certainly we want to remember God's promises. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Or how about the prophet of old, Ezekiel, speaks and he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And Paul gives us the final word today. For it is Christ who is the yes to all of God's promises. We are to rely upon God's kindness, God's faithfulness, God's promises, because this is not an easy process. Have any of you seen the new movie that just came out this weekend called The Giver? Bobby and Thomas read the book and they said, "Dad, we got to go see it. Here's the book, you need to read it." Well, I haven't read the book yet, but I went and saw the movie. And I won't give you any spoilers other than to say it reminds us of a process that we all are in this life. And if that process is removed, then we really aren't human. We really aren't how God has created us to be. And with this process of life, there is going to be pain. I'm not sure if you realize that yet or not. Has there been some pain in your life? Have you caused pain in the lives of others? It is something that has happened to us, and we have happened to others. But in the midst of all that, can we hold on to God's kindness, God's faithfulness, God's promises as we allow Him to do some house cleaning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Lord, we remember that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but it took his friends to actually set him free. Lord, are we willing and able to ask you a few questions? Are we able to ask you, who do I need to talk to that can help me step into freedom? What do I still need to do to be set free from? Lord, we pray that you will speak to our hearts this week. You will place those individuals in our path that are on this journey with us, and that we can see your freedom again. Lord, I know that we sometimes look at the task ahead and we even ask, where do we begin? And so we pray that we would begin in our hearts, even as we think of these words to say to you. But we would say, Lord, I know that I've hidden some things in my heart. I've denied the truth about my life. I've tried to hide from you and from myself and from other people. Lord, you know what's inside me. I want you to help me to see it too. Lord, I want you to search my heart and reveal the secrets in me. Shine your light into the darkness, into the shadows. Show me what's in there. Lord, I confess to you that I have sinned, that I am a sinner. Sometimes I sin in ignorance. Sometimes I do it deliberately. And I'm sorry. I want you to know I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things I've done that have hurt you, have hurt other people, and that have hurt me. I'm tired of running and hiding from you. So, Lord, I'm turning my heart to you today. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm opening my heart to you. I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to come into my life, to set me free, to purify my heart, and to show me how to live life the way you want me to. To bring me from death into life. I give my life to you. I surrender myself to you. And would you lead me into right relationships on the right pathway to live life in its fullness in the way you've always meant for it to be? We ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,